This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's do this. There we go. Warriors get the get right win. They are in New York to take on the Knicks, and we got big names with questionable tags. In Karl Anthony Towns and Steph Curry, we expect that breaking news to happen during our show. So be with us along the ride because, yes, Warriors Live is an hour and 15 minutes away. Tip-off will be at 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. We do have some Dub stuff to get to. The Western Conference changed again last night, so we'll have that. But, yes, we'll start off by talking about these 49ers because, all of a sudden, Dibs, they've got me very scared. And I do think these are just words, and they are negotiating ploys. But at the same time, what I don't know is to what level are you going to let those words guide your decision-making? It's just me, but I don't like it in the off-season whenever I'm a fan of a team that comes out and starts talking about how money is a problem and we need to start doing a lot less when it comes to money. That is not what any fan wants to hear, and I did not think I'd be hearing it anytime soon from the San Francisco 49ers.
I understand that, but it is the reality of a salary cap league, and it's different when the Giants come out and say, you know, we're just trying to break even. That's offensive on a number of different levels, especially when the Dodgers are shelling out hundreds of millions of dollars to everyone who has a pulse and maybe has played baseball once in their life. So that's a little bit different because, you know, the Giants are allowed to, with the big development they have down there, the multi-billion-dollar development, they're probably doing okay financially. So that's an uncapped league. It's a little bit of a different feel. The Warriors and Joe Lacob, he's spent more money than any other team in the history of the association. So even this year where they talk about getting below the second apron, okay, we're going to give you a year to save money because you've spent more in luxury tax than any other team in history has ever spent.
Yes, and
you've won rings, so that's great. But for the Niners, I do think that, and you and I have had this conversation many times about the cap, and you've always said cap schmap, and you're right because you can maneuver, you can manipulate, you can massage, but it feels like now, and you said this during in the green room during the pre-show, like it feels like now ownership is saying enough of like me picking up your mistakes by, you know, repurposing contracts and giving out big cash bonuses. It feels more now like they're saying enough is enough with all these bad contracts.
And again, I've never met Jed York, but most billionaires that I've watched in sports think about these things the same way, which is when they are good owners, they'll say yes a lot. Yeah, you want to extend our payroll? Answer's yes. Go win. And when you go to NFC title games and your quarterback's arm falls off, or when you go to the Super Bowl and you lose in overtime, the owner is like, you're right there. So yes, let's keep saying yes. And then you come back to the owner the next offseason and you're like, right, so we went 6-11.
Yeah.
And we finished in fourth in our division. That's when the owner's going to be like, what the hell am I paying for? What are you doing? I'm not here for games at the end of the year where the stands are half empty because you all punted on this whole thing already. I'm not here on December 30th so that when the Lions come to town for a massive Monday night game, we're actually just sitting here with our phones out looking at our fantasy scores because the final score of the game doesn't matter. And half of the crowd is like, you know, it'd be better if we lost this game, actually.
Exactly.
I was there. Nobody cared.
Yep.
It was this campy little feeling of like, well, there's a lot of points being scored. This is fun. Like, oh, God. If I'm Jed York, I broke off Brandon Ayuk. What?
Yeah.
For what? So I get it. But the bottom line is, for fans, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. It's not what you want to hear. And my hope is that what the 49ers are trying to do is, this is their play to try to get a couple of the contracts to fall in the bucket that they would like it to fall in, as opposed to being a team who actually has suddenly decided, nope, it's time to clip and trim and save and sell a piece of the team and all of these things. And that's what we've gotten a flow of so far. We thought that February and March would be about the build-up to the draft and a Brock Purdy contract extension. And instead, we've gotten an all-time favorite Niner shipped out for a fifth-round pick. We've got reporters saying that everybody on the roster is available. And oh, by the way, your quarterback might have to do double franchise tags for the next 2 years, which are all leverage plays.
Yeah.
But so I'll go with that until I know otherwise, but this is not the narrative that I want to hear right now.
I get that, and I don't think that they're going to go that route with Brock Purdy. And I, you know, listen to Adam Schefter, and he's talking about the contract, and because Brock Purdy's made Pro Bowls now, that the number that he is on the books for, 1.1, is actually $5 million, so he gets $5 million, and then if you do back-to-back franchise tags, and, you know, Evan played the sound, and it works out to be about almost $100 million over 3 years, which is $33 million per year, less than what many people think he would get, which is 50 or 55 or who knows what he would get. So it's definitely a leverage play. And we talked about this last year where the team could use the franchise tag as a threat. You could have him play this year on $5 million, and then you could franchise him twice, and that works out to be about $100 million total. And you could do that, but I don't think that they will, and that is something that Cincinnati does, and they did that to T. Higgins. Yeah. So now he's going to play on the franchise tag for a second straight year, and he's probably not happy about it. You'd rather have a long-term deal than something that is concrete and set in stone. And so if you're the Niners, do you want to do that to your quarterback, the most important player on your team? That's not the way a good team goes about doing its business.
Of course not. And so my read on this, I think, is the same as yours, which is that negotiations have started and both sides are digging in for something that might take a minute or two longer than they originally thought. Because, yeah, if I'm Brock's agent, why wouldn't you come in and be like, so Dak Prescott's there, so we'll go just north of that. That'll be fine.
Yeah, even Jordan Love,
yeah,
you know?
Right, because we're better than those. Well, I don't know if he's better than Jordan Love. He's definitely better than Dak Prescott. He's better than Trevor Lawrence. I'd be using those two deals.
Yeah, but talked about the Jordan Love deal, which is $55 per year. Right. Like, would Brock take that right now?
Probably, but I don't think the Niners want to start their offer there.
Right.
So both sides are going to – this is the leverage that both have, right? Brock Purdy's going to say, so you suck without me, and
I'm really good.
I don't know what your other option is, and so you don't want me to be mad because maybe I just won't show up this year, and then what are you going to do? And the Niners' leverage is what you just heard Adam Schefter say, and we'll play it again right now because I don't want to assume that nobody just showed up in the last 15 minutes.
Yep.
This is from the Pat McAfee show on ESPN earlier today, Adam Schefter.
The Niners, if they don't sign Brock Purdy this offseason, and here's a team that really is up against it financially. If they don't sign him, and Brock Purdy obviously is going to want to get a deal done, and the Niners would want to get a deal done. But the issue is he's scheduled to make $5.1 million this season. He then could be tagged after next season for $41 million. He could be tagged the season after that for $51 million. So if you don't get a deal done with Brock Purdy, and you're the Niners, and again, this would not be what Brock Purdy would want, I would imagine. Certainly not what his agent would want. He would play for $5 million this year, $41 next year, $51 the year after. You're talking about $97-plus million over the next 3 years, which for most people would be incredible money, but not for a quarterback who's waiting to get paid. And so the Niners have a bit of a cap issue, cash issue, and so they can't put Brock Purdy necessarily where he might be. They can go to a certain level. They'd want to pay him, but it's not going to be, I would imagine, quite as high as most people think.
It just makes me laugh. I don't buy it for a second. I don't buy any of it. It's a bunch of junk. That's the 49ers calling Adam Schefter and saying, look, here's the tone we'd like to strike. Boy, Brock, we love you. But oh, these financial problems we're having. What financial problems? Now all of a sudden, you're completely out of cash and you're strapped. So you're going to try to like appeal to Brock Purdy and be like, so like, we love you, but you got to understand, we need to be able to put people around you now. So we're going to need you to maybe just be aware of our situation. And then, oh, by the way, let's casually drop in, just so you know, Brock, we do have the power to control you.
Yeah. Facts.
For the next 3 years at $33 million a year.
Yep.
So
those are facts.
They're facts. Now, nobody wants that, though, because you could go that route, and then Brock says, I'm not playing, and now everybody loses. Now, everybody loses, starting with us. But that's the card, to me, that the 49ers just laid with this report.
Well, and that card has been there, and the fact that Adam Schefter is coming out with that report tells me that they're ready to play it, which also indicates to me that this extension that we all talk about is not that close to being a reality. And we talked about it before where, you know, both sides want this to happen. But if the team doesn't want to pay top dollar, and I get that, and whether or not they are cash strapped or cap strapped, I think that they are in terms of the salary cap. It's a little bit tighter than what we would have thought, because what you're going to have to eat with Debo Samuel, you trade Debo and what you owe him accelerates to this year. And that takes up about half of what you had in your cap room. And you have 11 or 12 or 13 guys you want to draft and pay. So I don't think that they have as much money as people would think that they would. So for Brock Purdy, yeah, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money, most of which will be down the road, but no matter what that is, you're probably going to have to restructure Kittle, and Juszczyk might be a cap casualty, and you got Fred Warner you might restructure.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of financial work that you have to do because you don't have as much cap room as you did before you decided to trade Debo Samuel.
It's tough stuff. The bottom line is, in professional sports, if you're a team or a player, and you find a microphone, and you start talking to your fan base about money, it's not going to go over well. Period. Period. I mean, there was the off-season report with the Giants. Oh, like lower spending a little bit. Bleep you is the response of just about every fan. Bleep you. You know what? We'd like to save money, too. How about if the Tony's Pizza out there in right field would charge a little bit less for a slice of cheese? Right.
How about we stop instituting tariffs on our allies? I had to sneak that one.
Yeah, there's that. Right.
According to overthecap.com, the Niners have the largest dead cap hit this year in the NFL.
Sure, but
that's a thing.
That's a thing, but they also still have space.
Not a lot.
But they've got space.
Yep.
We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. Your phone calls and any of this are always welcome. How does this make you feel, Niner fans, when you start hearing, oh, money, uh-oh, money, you know, the same thing you wake up thinking about every day? Now the Niners are saying that to you. 888-957-9570. Tell them what we see. We're coming to you. And Warriors Live is just over an hour away, and any minute now, we're going to find out if Steph Curry is going to play tonight. So stay right where you are on Willard and Dibbs.
Will and Dibby.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I give you love. For anybody who was listening yesterday.
Stay hot, Dibber.
I hope you didn't fade the Dibber last night.
No.
There's a bunch of things that happened. Your campy little Cookman. Who are they playing? Cookman?
They're playing Grambling, Mark.
Grambling.
Yep.
And you had Bethune minus the 5.
That's right.
I took the lovely Christy to Splash after the knockout tournament.
Boop.
And we're watching the Dubs.
Thank you.
And if you haven't been to Splash yet, which is the sports bar and restaurant right next to Chase Center.
So good.
Right there on Thrive City Plaza. By the way, we rocked the nachos. Damn.
Yeah?
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Really impressive. We've now eaten there twice, and I've come out with a grade A both times. Really good.
The smash burger that you and I shared was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal, but I wasn't hungry, so that was a bummer. This time I was hungry, and the nachos also smashed.
To the house.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
But anyway, they've got the scroll board underneath the TVs, which on a random Monday night had Bethune-Cookman and Grambling. So I'm watching this scroll around each time. And they got a big lead, and then it's getting closer. It's getting, here comes the fade, the Dibber.
Yeah, boy.
Nope, they held them off.
Yep.
And then the Warriors did the exact same thing, coughed their lead up, then ran away and covered. And oh, by the way, a little garbage time for Pat Spencer before the buzzer, and your on-air pick was Pat Spencer to register a bucket,
and
in 2 minutes, Pat went 1-for-1 for 2 points.
Let's go.
Don't fade the Dibber, pay the Dibber.
Green check mark, which is rare. I'm no Mark Grandy,
two-time
knockout champ. But things broke pretty well until the late college action. But we won't eat. You shouldn't have brought that up.
I was over here thinking you just went 3-for-3 for your whole night.
And some early horse racing today went against me. But nothing like breaking even. You know how that goes.
That's actually a good day if you can break even.
Take Holy Cross in the 6.5 against Lafayette.
If you say it like that, I'm just not inspired. But anyway, we're going to go to the phones for a sec.
Let's go to the phones.
Just because you brought up Grandy, for those of you who don't speak 95.7 The Game, we did have our knockout tournament yesterday, and our technical director and good friend here, Mark with a C, he won for the second year in a row. We've only done this event twice. He's won it both times. And I just want to take a moment, because I slept on this and thought about it, Grandy. Dude, that's bananas. I want everybody to stop just for the, not for the, like, he can shoot a free throw, because he obviously can. He hasn't had a 30th birthday yet, so he moves still pretty spry.
Yep, yep.
So you got all that going for him. So it's not like we didn't know that you were a candidate. But we're talking, what was it? It was at least 50 people in this event.
I think it was closer to 65.
So 65, just for randomness, like for random dumb luck,
right?
That's bananas that you won again. That's crazy. Like, the ball has to bounce your way a little bit. So for us to do this event twice and the same person wins both times, dude, I mean, both bravo and, like, buy a lotto ticket.
And there's strategy here.
No, I'm sure there is.
Blind luck.
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is it's both. That's crazy that you won again. It really is. So bravo.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was great to knock you out at the end, too.
Yeah, that was... I hope your calf's doing all right. By the way, it actually feels great today.
Wow, okay.
I'm thrilled. Like, it's still howling at me, but, like, I got way more mobility than I thought I was going to have.
Round two?
Give me a few more days.
Okay.
Give me a few more days, and yes, we'll get back out there.
I had more than one listener come up to me and say, oh, Grandy over Willard in the final? That thing was so rigged. It's just like the NBA.
It's not rigged!
Somebody, like, two different people are like, that thing was so rigged.
Dude,
and I was like, that is so funny.
I must have shot, how many free throws do you think we shot yesterday? Through the heat and then through the finals. It had to be...
I'd say close to
25?
20. Close to 20.
25 too,
I think I missed twice. Two or three times. That's it.
Yeah, we go to the film.
From the framework of my favorite line, Super Bowl or try again.
Yep.
I'm sorry if this doesn't land well with you, Grandy. I am so okay with second place. I am there's not an ounce of me that's like, damn it. I was like that. How fun was that? Went all the way to the end.
Super fun.
And I think I missed 3 times.
Yeah.
Great. Good for you, Grandy. Keep the trophy in there. It looks good in that room.
It was fun to watch, and I love the fact that it says 2023 knockout champion, even though last year, I believe, was 2024.
Well, we did it in November 2023.
Oh, we did?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
Lucas,
there you go.
Lucas, all that planning, and you didn't come up with another trophy?
Mm. We gave away a jersey.
But to Grandy.
And tickets.
Like, I don't know.
Grandy, it's actually funny. The week before, leading up to it, Grandy's like, you can just take this trophy. I don't want it. You can just get a new plaque and give it to this year's winner.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he? Oh, okay. So
there's
you get
no new plaque.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, somebody get a Sharpie, and I'll write a 5 over the 3, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It was a good day.
It was really fun to watch, and for the first time in my life, I actually was rooting for you, which was really uncomfortable because my motto going into yesterday, and I wasn't going to play. My legs are not where they should be. And you know,
I hate Mark Grandy.
That's a fact. And so I was thinking anybody but Grandy, and secondarily was anybody but Willard.
Right.
So when it came down to Grandy versus Willard, I had to choose. It's like, which of my children do I hate more?
Oh, I could answer that.
Well, it's Grandy.
Okay.
But it's close, because I have to deal with you,
you do,
a lot more than I have to deal with him. But the smugometer of a Mark Grandy, I didn't want to see him win again.
But you have no idea what I would have done if I had won.
I mean,
you don't know what that year would have been like.
I could see you from the sidelines, and already you were out there. You were bouncing and you were feeling yourself.
You got it.
You were feeling it.
You got to put the wings out a little bit when you knock someone out.
More than a little bit.
You have to put the wings out a little bit. And it's just like your body just does that.
I don't know if you saw it, and we'll go to the phones here because, you know, people could give a crap about this.
But it was fun.
Grandy hit you with the night.
I know he did.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you saw that.
Okay. Did I see it? It's all over Instagram, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I loved it.
And you're all on Instagram, so.
Yeah, I loved it. Sure. Night me. Good job. Yeah.
It's kind of a soft night, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're going to do it.
Anyway.
Let's expect more.
Yeah. Windsor.
888-957-9570. Hi, Telmo, in the city. What are you doing, Telmo?
Well, I'm currently stocking up on maple syrup before the tariffs hit.
Oh.
I got a 2.5-year-old who's really into waffles these days, so I gotta make sure I'm stocked up on the good Canadian stuff before we have to start buying the second tier Vermont maple syrup.
It's a good thought. It's a good plan. That's a good way to be a planner, because French toast is coming next for that kid too.
But a real quick aside. You know, the best part about yesterday's tournament is once again hearing about how much Guru can ball all year, for him to prove otherwise in an actual physical basketball situation. He's probably listening right now. He's going to feel some type of way about it. Maybe next year, Goo. But anyways,
man,
to this Niners thing. Look. We heard it with Bosa. We heard it with Ayuk. Oh, just fans were like, just give him the bag. Give him whatever he wants. Give him the bag, right? And then it goes south, right? Bosa has 10 sacks and then 9 sacks, and he's still a factor, but not the way he was. And Ayuk, that just went nosedive completely south. And now people are like, well, the decisions the management's making. Here's the thing about Brock Purdy. We're talking about a franchise quarterback, right? And a franchise quarterback is like finding a wife or a spouse or a husband, whatever be it, right? You want to commit to that person. You can't bring the baggage from your failed relationships and your toxic exes and your crazy exes into that relationship, because it just won't work. So if you think that person is the long-term person, which in the NFL, the face of the franchise, a quarterback, is that person, you have to just go into it in good faith and believe that that's the one, and do whatever it takes to make that relationship successful. Because if you don't, if you go into it being petty about all the failed stuff in the past, it's not going to work anyways, and you're going to be back in the same situation, going through the same roster of quarterbacks, the same thing over and over. The Niners have a guy that's gone to an NFC Championship, a Super Bowl. Last year, he wasn't a bum. He still played well with, almost no weapons. So they need to figure out how to get the deal done, how to give him some weapons, how to move forward, and that's it.
Well, Telmo, this is an interesting call, and thanks for doing it as always. Appreciate you. I don't know. I know we've sort of positioned it this way. I'm not trying to fully say that what the 49ers are potentially doing right now with Brock Purdy, if negotiations are indeed off to a rocky start, or if the two sides are far apart, which has been reported. I'm not saying they're necessarily just being reactive to Ayuk and Bosa. The last two summers, maybe they'd be doing this anyway, because this is the way the Niners behave. The Niners don't want to just be like, here's your deal, because we love you. Especially now, after the perception of losing a couple of deals. I don't even know if it's so much about the perception. I can tell you that I think it's their own perception that the Ayuk thing was awful. But they may be behaving this way either way. Either way. Like, the bottom line is, this is a really expensive deal, and the 49ers would like to save every dollar that they can. So I think that's why we're hearing what we're hearing. I don't really buy that the 49ers are, as Adam Schefter said, in some type of financial situation. No, they're not. They're fine. They're fine.
They're fine, but they're not in the spot that they would have been had they not paid Brandon Ayuk what they paid him, had they not done a Debo restructure and then went up and traded Debo. The fact that you traded Debo makes it a $32 million accelerated cap hit that hits you right now. So all that money you had, and last year during the year, they were number one in cap room. Well, now you get to the offseason, and all the contracts either roll over or don't roll over, and now you have the Debo cap hit that gets accelerated, and I'm looking at it from overthecap.com as they compute it, and you've got $28 million effective cap space, which is ahead of only about 15 teams. So you went from number one to kind of being square in the middle. And if you think about $28 million of effective cap space, well, Brock Purdy's going to eat up some of that. And I know his deal won't accelerate this year. If you sign him, his signing bonus will accelerate. And you can get some cap space by restructuring people like Kittle and Fred Warner and other contracts. And so you can create some cap space. But I do think they're in a little bit of a tougher spot cap-wise than they have been. And part of it is because of what you decided to do with Debo.
Yeah, one thing I would love to find out, because I'll openly tell you I don't know, when they talk about this, quote, financial situation, is it actually a cap problem or is it a cash flow problem? And these are two different things in the NFL. The cap is obviously the thing that you can manipulate and has to come up against a certain number that is mandated by the NFL. The cash flow is the actual money that goes out in signing bonuses. And so when you have these massive payoffs and restructures, Jed York has been right near or at the top of the league the last few years in how much cash he's been willing to dole out to these great players to have these Super Bowl type runs. Well, you come off of a 6-11 year and now you've got to potentially do the biggest cash handout of all because it's your quarterback. Jed might be in a mood to be like, how about less of that? And perception is it's more about that cash flow than it is about cap. But I'd love, as this offseason unfolds, we'll get a little bit more expert testimony, if you will, on that, because that's not me. I'm not an expert on the inner workings of the Niners' finances.
Nor am I, and I do think that cash-wise, you're right, Jed York has been very forthright in doing whatever it took to pay the cash now and have the cap hit be down the road, and you have so many restructures and you have so many voidable years and all the other contract mumbo-jumbo that fans don't mostly care about, but I do look at the dead cap number that you have right now, and just looking at overthecap.com, they have the most dead cap money of any team in the NFL. And that is something salary cap wise, you can't offset that with a cash payment because, for example, Debo Samuel, you can't cash him out one time. He's no longer a Niner when the trade goes through. So that dead cap money, that just hits your salary cap. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't spread that out over multiple years. That is the chickens coming home to roost. And so I do think when you look at that number, and the base salary cap, according to this, is $279 million, and your dead cap number is $66 million, which is about a fourth of your overall cap. So about a quarter of your overall salary cap is dead money. money that you aren't going to get anything for. So I do think for the first time, you actually do have somewhat of a cap constraint. And, you know, the cash is the cash. Jed York's got enough money. He can spend his money if he wants, well, but I mean, he doesn't have to.
That's right, right. You and 10% of the team goes up for sale as well, which makes you scratch your head when you think about all this as well.
Good point.
Like, again, that's a cash flow thing. So it's not like Jed's not having dinner tonight. I just don't know. Like, there must be some sort of discomfort with the numbers that he's been doling out over the last couple of years. And then to suddenly be faced with 6-11 and your quarterback, that'll exacerbate the situation. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. First of all, I would like to thank the men and women of 95.7 The Game, the greatest sports talk radio station in the entire USA, for putting together, you know, that event yesterday, the knockout. I mean, for fans of myself, just being able to be on that court in the very house that Wardell, Steph Curry made and built. Hey, what a feeling! I mean, it's totally priceless just to be on that court, you know, getting up shots. And it's totally priceless. I think it's a safe bet that I will never, ever again experience that on, you know, in my lifetime. And before I go, you guys are talking about the 49ers. I think I'm going to be right about this one. They're stuck between a hard place and a rock because they are down in a hole, feeling so small, down in a hole, losing control.
It's so good, Jonathan.
It's so good. Jonathan, I want to fly.
Jonathan is not only on point with the lyrics today, but like he was hitting the chords.
He was. A little Alice in Chains there.
Yeah,
down
Alice
in a hole.
Chains.
Strong.
And what a feeling. Don't forget about that off at the start. And I asked Jonathan personally yesterday.
Irene Cara.
Yeah, make sure you put together some ditties based on today.
Right.
And Jonathan was there. And Jonathan, don't say that you'll never be on that floor again, because with how much you listen, I'm going to put my money on you being there again next year.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And he got one of the late at-large wild card berths. And I'm not sure if he survived his heat or not.
I don't think I saw. He wasn't in the final. No, was he with us, Grandy? No, he was not in the final.
And Grandy would know. Grandy had his eyes on all the finalists. He was sizing up everybody.
I think Grandy has been to everybody's house within the last month or so to sort of like assess people's strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
My God. Absolute intensity from this man. It was crazy because I was in his heat too. And we went through the last probably three or four rounds of the opening heat with him right behind me.
And he hip-checked me one time.
I did give you a little, hey, how you doing? That's because we're friends. And I was walking by you, and you do what guys do when they walk by friends. It's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, give him a little something, you know what I mean? Old man basketball. But anyway, point being is, there's like, it's not like you're a heavy breather, but like you could just feel his presence. Very intense being around you at this event,
the
Mark.
The champ.
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't remember the listener's name, but he came up to me while we were shooting around before the event started, and he said, oh, hey, you're Grandy, right? You won last year. Like, I got it done last year. And he asked me what place I was going to come in this year. I told him, well, first, of course.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, please, of course you're not going to come in first. And then after I had won, he came up and he apologized after the fact.
I mean, no apology necessary, but it's not like if the Boston Celtics win the title again this year. It's like more unlikely than that. To have the same person win a 65-person knockout tournament, that's just stupid.
It's like UConn winning the NCAA tournament back-to-back years.
No, it's not. It's
a little bit
more unlikely than that.
It's more like the Kentucky Derby, where you get 20 horses and you break from the gate, and it's just an absolute mishmash of who knows what. And, you know, Grandy could have had one bad free throw and had somebody behind him just make it. And he's out.
Yeah.
You know? He misses. The person behind him makes it, and it's just over.
That's what happened to Willard. One of the few times you missed, I made it right
and
after.
And by the way, I made my putback, but he's quick.
Yeah.
You did, like, that's your thing. You go after, like, because there was one where you missed, and I made my shot, but you had already put your layup in. You're very, very like...
It's the strategy.
Yeah, that's so the strategy.
Very he like
goes intensely after his miss to put it back in. You can't get it up in time.
I caught a stray from Goo.
Cut that. Pause. Anyway,
I caught
ahead.
A stray from Goo this morning. I was listening as they began their show, and Goo starts, as only Goo would. Is this me being a hater? and then he says, but Grandy, he was jumping, and he was leaning forward on his shots.
Yeah.
That's the strategy. You get closer to the rim so you can get your put back.
There's nothing illegal about that.
Congratulations to Grandy on just being really good at the niche event of knockout.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what Shasky said this morning.
Are you good at anything else?
Nope, just knockout.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, I like to think I'm somewhat naturally athletic.
According to most of the hosts on this station, this is the only thing he's good at.
You got to be good at making a turkey sandwich.
Oh, of course.
Like, there's that, I mean, right?
Arguably 5 days a week.
Just out of repetition, I would think that by now you're pretty good.
Right now, yeah.
10,000 hours, right?
He's good at taking care of his teeth. We know that.
Well.
I'm laughing because...
What's the dentist appointment on Friday, dude?
The second you said that...
Dentist next week.
I look over at him and he kind of does, like, lips together and does, like, a little, like, teeth lick. Like, that made you very uncomfortable. There's the ground.
It's really inside baseball.
Yeah, it is.
It's too inside.
It is.
Anyway. Right.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Here's the other thing that, to me, strikes a little bit of fear as a 49er fan. We haven't played this one yet. This is also from Schefter, also on McAfee. And on this one, Ayuk is the central figure. But listen to what he says.
Well, again, I think that the 49ers in their particular financial situation are open to listening on just about anybody, right? And so if there's a team out there that is willing to take on the Brandon Ayuk contract with him coming off the torn ACL, I'm sure they would listen, absolutely. But again, you've got to find a team that's willing to take on the player with the injury with the contract. That's not a simple thing to do. Look, if there's no knee injury, it's a simple deal. But because there's a knee injury, because he may miss the first half of next season, and there are questions about, you know, when he'll get back next year, there are a whole host of pending issues. But the Niners, again, for them to play in the free agency sandbox, they're going to have to find ways to clear out salary, whether that's through Brandon Ayuk or Jordan Mason or any other player that they don't bring back or let go. They have to find ways to get money to help field the kind of roster that they want. So if an offer comes in on Brandon Ayuk and there's a team out there that's willing to take on that particular situation, I'm sure they would be open to listening to it.
Okay. The idea that they're open to listening on Brandon Ayuk is not brand new. But what he said there at the beginning, where it's like basically they'll take a call about anybody on the roster right now. Now, I don't think the Niners are going into some sort of fire sale, but good Lord, it sounds like they want someone to think that that's what's about to happen. Again, the question I always ask when you hear these reports, why does this reporter know this? Why did someone tell Adam Schefter this so that he could say it on the Pat McAfee show?
Because they're open for business. And I do think that the sentiment that he's delivered now in both of those cuts is they are not in financial cap hell, but they are open to a deal that would help them create some financial room so they could go out there and do the things that they need to do. Because if you end up drafting 12 or 13 players, that in and of itself is going to eat up some of the cap that you have right now.
All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We've got some breaking news with regard to tonight's Warriors game that we'll pass along in just a moment. Warriors Live, half hour away, and a special treat for you next as well. A gentleman named Vincent is going to join us. This will make you smile. Wait till you hear what just happened to Vincent, one of our faithful listeners here at 95.7 The Game. This is Willard and Dibs.